All right, let's get to hour number three. Welcome back for a tremendous Monday to you, wherever you are. Your phone number, as you know, is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, and you can email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. If you're on hold, stay there. As promised, we start hour number three, and the program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. As mentioned, we start the third hour by having a conversation with a tight end for the Browns, two-time Pro Bowler, 26 receptions, 249 yards, 14 first downs, and a TD in 8 games this season. He had only one drop on 97 targets last year. He entered the year leading all tight ends in catch percentage over the past 3 years. He was a first-team all-conference player at Stanford. He was the 81st pick overall in 2016. The Browns are 7-3. They're at Jacksonville on Sunday. That's a CBS game. Austin Hooper is back in the jungle. Austin, what's going on? How are you?
What's up, brother? Good. Just enjoying the Victory Monday. How you doing?
Dude, you took it right out of my mouth. I was going to say, I'm doing great, actually. How good does a Victory Monday feel in late November?
It's great, buddy. I'm being, both of us being West Coast guys, you know, a little chilly in this part of the country, but still feels great, you know, being a Victory Monday. Can't complain.
We're talking Austin Hooper, no doubt. You know, you and I have talked about the elements and the weather in the past, both being California guys. The last 2 weeks, Austin, the weather has been nasty. All right, so you're a California guy. You played with the Falcons. What's it been like playing in that kind of weather and the kind of elements that you've had to deal with and see the last couple of weeks? What's that been like?
Yeah, we're not indoors anymore, brother. really makes you have to really focus just and understand how Mother Nature actually does affect and dictate what you can do offensively. Like, you know this, by playing for all your Rams fans out there. Like, the wind's blowing 50 miles an hour. Like, you can't really throw the ball. Like, the wind is going to push that, you know, that pigskin around the field. So you got to, you know, change what you do offensively in time, you know, depending upon what Mother Nature gives you. So that's obviously being, having the first 4 years of my career being inside for the most part. Like, that's really changed my entire philosophy of what Mother Nature can do in terms of dictating and affecting games. And the other day, luckily, there wasn't wind, so we're still able to sling the ball around and do our thing. But yeah, man, like, when you're outside, I mean, Mother Nature definitely does dictate what you can do.
Austin Hooper's joining us. I appreciate that. Listen, you're 10 games in, and you've got these great opportunities that are still in front of you, and I know you're focused on that. But at this point of the year, how would you describe the identity of this team?
I mean, I think Stefanski and Andrew Berry have done a good job of just cultivating what they want to build, which is, you know, the identity of Cleveland, which is just blue collar, grab your lunch pail and go to work. Like, for example, I know you've been watching it, but like, see me at Land versus me here. Like, I've my role has changed where it's like, you know, we're one of the top, you know, rushing attacks in the world. Like, so I mean, it's really changed like my emphasis of what I need to do and what I need to work on and like what I need to do to allow us to do my part and for us to be successful as a team. So, I mean, just grab your lunch pail, go to work, block, you know, some of the premier edge players in this league and, you know, and execute the play action keepers that come off that and execute the, you know, 3-5, 7-step dropbacks that come off when it's time to execute them. So, I'm just really happy with what we're doing right now. I mean, I still don't think we're, you know, at our full potential, but I think that's the exciting part with our group. So I think we've done some good things, but I still think that there's another level we can go to. So we just got to keep working and hopefully we'll get there.
We're talking Austin Hooper. See, the thing is, like, you've embraced this role, but I'm not sure that everybody would. When you look at your resume, you're a two-time Pro Bowler. You've put up enormous receiving numbers in the past. I mean, it seems to me it might be pretty easy to complain that you're not getting enough targets, that you need the ball more. But you're dominating in the run game. You're taking advantage of the opportunities. Like, what is your mindset and your approach when a guy in your position very clearly could demand the ball?
Sure. I mean, I've always been a team first guy, and I think that's why Andrew Berry and Stefanski, and obviously the Haslams, gave me the opportunity to come here. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. Like, I mean, having Odell here and having Jarvis here, you know, I mean, just prolific guys are going to be in history books when it's all said and done. So, I mean, it's like, you know, who am I, Jim Rome? Be like, oh, I want this. Like, you know what? Like, we have phenomenal runners. We have phenomenal offensive line. And this is just the style of ball we play. And, like, at first, like, I'd be lying to you and your listeners and said at times, like, if there was ever a moment where I was like, oh man, am I a little bit frustrated? But I realized, like, you know what? Like, there's a bigger picture here that's just more so than just my own immediate self. And once I really embraced that internally and, you know, wholeheartedly accepted that, it's allowed me to be just so much happier in my role and just allowed me to, you know, flourish in my role here.
We're talking Austin Hooper. You know, the one name you did not mention is a guy I want to ask you about, Rashard Higgins, a.k.a. Hollywood. He was on the show, Austin, last week, man. This guy is amazing. Like, he talked about the fact that there's so many different guys that can step up week to week and produce. Like, from that standpoint, what do you make of the depth and the quality the team has? And then what kind of a positive impact does his energy have on that room?
Oh, man. I mean, Higgy, I'm sure you got a you got to understand a piece of it when you're speaking to him. I mean, just great energy. I mean, high energy, just like the Dallas kid. Like, you know, when he's in the room, you notice. When he's on the field, you notice. And that's just who he is, a positive, productive force we have on our team. And just like a guy who's kind of lead by example more than his words, just goes out there, does the work every day in practice. So when he got his opportunity, when Odell went down, he was, you know, PFF grade him, correct me if I'm wrong, like one of the top receivers, what was it, Bengals? You know, I mean, just regardless, like when he got his opportunity, fully embraced it and ran with it, and people around him saw the way he worked in practice, like no one was surprised. So, I mean, we're with guys like that on our team, like we have the opportunity to do something pretty cool here.
Okay, so what about that, Austin? Austin Hooper's my guest. You're 7-3. You've got an opportunity to do something really cool. Like the offense, it's got another level, right? And what would that other level look like to you?
Great question, Jim. I'll just say, like, you know, it's kind of cliche, but just, like, consistency. I feel like there's always something, like, you know, where I didn't do enough on the block here that could have spring Chubb here. You know what I mean? Just, like, 11 guys on the field, just, like, one guy here on this play, one guy here on this play. I just feel like once we really are able to be consistent enough, like, I really think that's going to be our next step. Cause, I mean, I'm not there yet. I still need, you know, I still think there's another level that my game can go to, and I'm sure a lot of my teammates feel the same way.
Yeah, but Austin, at the same time, you did make that block to spring Chubb. In fact, there's been so much talk about that Nick Chubb play against Houston where he ran out of bounds. I want to talk to you about that, but I want to talk about the blocking job that you did and the fact that you absolutely dominated your guy on that play. We've talked about your blocking in the past, but how much pride do you take in a run like Chubb's when you know you had that guy on the edge and you flattened him?
Yeah, it was pretty cool to be a part of, knowing that could be on you know, Nick Chubb's highlight tape forever. I got to be a part of, you know, a special player's history. It's going to be pretty cool, you know, when I can look back on it 140. But, yeah, it was pretty crazy, Jim. I'm pulling out. It was like a pin and pull, you know, toss play, try to get to the edge. And I'm going up. My job on that play is to block the widest defender on that play particularly. That was, ended up being the corner. And the corner saw it and just tried to, like, dive, you know, at my legs. So I just jumped on him and put him on the ground. And Nick took it and just, the rest is history. So that was pretty cool to be a part of.
It's good to have that on tape. Austin Hooper is joining us. Now, you had to miss some time last month, Austin, because of an appendectomy. Anybody who has had appendicitis knows how awful that is, man. When did you first notice something was wrong, and what was it like to learn that you had appendicitis of all things?
Super crazy. So, like, I Thursday night, I go to a steakhouse, just grab a quick bite. Friday morning, I wake up, I'm like, yeah, and I'm like, I think I'm having some indigestion or whatever. Like, didn't really, you know, I was like, oh, it's nothing, right? Like, I'll try to go to the bathroom. Like, I'll be fine. I'm like, this is actually starting to hurt a little bit. My stomach's swelling. Like, something's not quite right. Let me talk to the trainer. Maybe they'll give me some. And, like, point me where it hurts. I'm like, oh, you're going to the hospital right now. I'm like, whoa, plot twist. This has just gotten very real.
Right?
Yeah. But luckily, I caught it before it burst, and, here I am a few weeks post-surgery, 100% back to normal, so can't complain.
Let me ask you this. Your former Falcons teammate, Alex Mack, went through a similar procedure. What did he tell you about coming back from it?
First he was like, man, I feel for you. I know how it is. That sucks. He said, you should be good to go. But then he said, he's like, oh, I also don't run across the middle and get hit in my internal organ. So, I don't know. So Alex was pretty realistic and funny with it in his own way. If you know Alex, like, that's just his personality, good dude. But he gave me some good insight just in terms of, like, what to do and what not to do. So grateful to have him as a resource.
We're talking to Austin Hooper for a few more moments. Now, normally you and I will, and I enjoy this part of the conversation where you break down a play, but rather than doing that here, can you break down the week? Like this week, it's Monday, you've got Jacksonville on Sunday. What are the next few days like for you?
Sure. So, Stefanski said earlier in the year, like, you get us to 7 wins, we'll give you a victory Monday. So, Jim, we actually got a true victory Monday in the, I guess, in the weird way that COVID is. We still obviously had to go in the morning and test, and I had a random drug test, even though I didn't score a touchdown. You know how that goes. You only get one of those if you score a touchdown. But, so I went in and got my drug test. Like, that's just like the day you have the option of lifting on Mondays or not. And normally you'd watch film, but with us having Victory Monday, we obviously don't have to go in. Tuesday's your off day league-wide. Wednesday's your real work day where you put in your base run game, base pass plays. You get a lift in. Thursday is more third down emphasis, and Friday's red zone. And Saturday, walk through, fly down. So in this case, will be Jacksonville this upcoming week, and Sunday's game day.
You know, I appreciate that breakdown. And then really quickly, Austin, about the defense. I mean, there was a lot made of the fact, of course, that Myles Garrett could not go, and you know what he means to the team. So how impressed were you with the way that unit stepped up and rallied even without him?
Oh, incredible. I mean that again, you're speaking about depth at our receiver position. We have some depth in terms of pass rushers, too. I mean, Olivier Vernon having a ridiculous day, Adrian Claiborne, my guy, former Falcon, the savvy old man, still out there getting some work in, doing his thing. I mean, and just tremendous job on the back end with guys like Terrence Mitchell and, of course, Denzel Ward, who's playing at an unreal level right now. So it's cool, Jim, when you got more than just, everyone just wants to make it out as, you know, it's just Miles out there, and he is, you know, a transcendent talent. But there are a lot of guys out there that are incredibly talented as well. So it's cool to have some depth.
That is cool. He is a two-time Pro Bowler, and he entered this year leading all tight ends in catch percentage over the past 3 years. Cleveland 7-3. It's a victory Monday. Cleveland is at Jacksonville on Sunday. Austin, had to bring you back. Had to get caught up, man. I appreciate you very much. Enjoy that victory Monday. You guys earned it.
Always, brother. Talk soon.
Be good, man. Austin Hooper is a jungle legend. They're 7-3. So whatever the hell you want to say about them, whatever the hell you think about them, I'm here to tell you they're 7-3. They're America's team. They're going to the postseason. Period. Wells tweets, if Larry's parody was an article of clothing, it would be a red cardigan. Dear Jim, people who tweet out death threats to athletes are losers. Signed, people who tweet out masked singer guesses. That's a different brand of loser, actually. No, I mean, seriously, do I really have to say this? Do not threaten to kill an athlete if they let you down, if it costs you fantasy points, even a bet. If you can't make a bet or you can't watch a game without threatening to kill somebody when things don't go your way, then don't watch the game. Clearly. I've got a workplace violence update for you that I will try to get in before the end of the program. Oh, there's an old school long form email. Have not seen one of those in a long time. So I'm going to get to that too. Let's take a short time out. When we come back, Chris Mannix will be joining us. And then at the bottom of the hour, I'm wide open for you. This holiday season, it's all about the bedroom. And Casper's Black Friday sale has up to 30% off everything you need to make your bedroom your happy place. The most supportive mattresses, plush pillows, soft sheets, even cozy throw pillows and blankets. So you better get gifting. Casper's Black Friday sale is on right now with up to 30% off for a limited time at Casper.com. Only Casper mattresses are made with 86 supportive gel pods to align your spine and eliminate aches and pains. It is the supportive comfort you need to wake up refreshed and ready to go. Casper bed frames are made from the highest quality materials. And did you know they also have bedroom accessories? From their warm, magical glow light to their calming, weighted blanket, even a dog bed for your best friend. Casper has gift ideas for everybody that you know. Give the gift of a better bedroom. Save up to 30% during Casper's Black Friday sale. It's going on right now at Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. See Casper.com/terms for more details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome to the jungle. What's up? Welcome back. I've got Chris Mannix coming up momentarily. Quick reminder, with Merrill Guided Investing, you have the option to work with an advisor at a low cost and minimum. Get started at MerrillEdge.com/investing goals. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner and Smith Incorporated, both a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor member, SIPC. With that said, as promised, we're joined right now by a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, an NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston, a boxing analyst for DAZN, host of the Crossover NBA Show podcast, host of the SI Boxing Podcast with Chris Mannix, and of course, good friend of the program, Chris. What's going on, brother? How are you?
What's going on, Jim?
Usual stuff. I got to talk to you, Chris, about the start of free agency. I appreciate you coming back on. You knew it was going to be a really unusual free agency period, Chris, because of the accelerated time frame. But what do you make of the first few days and the number of deals that have gotten done already?
I mean, certainly some teams reshaped their rosters. I think a theme of this free agency was that when a team put a legitimate offer out there, players and their agents weren't really screwing around. Like they kind of knew that money was going to dry up pretty quickly. There was only a finite number of teams with legitimate cap space as it was. So if there was a solid size offer on the table, whether it's Christian Wood in Houston or, even Montrezl Harrell in LA, these guys jumped on it and took it. So that was kind of a theme of the week. I don't know that the balance of power was tipped one way or the other. I mean, I liked what the Bucks did, you know, first with Drew Holiday and then kind of retooling their roster with the likes of Bryn Forbes and Bobby Portis and a few others. The Lakers, I think they upgraded at key positions, beginning with Dennis Schroeder and then, you know, going down the list and with Pau Gasol or Marc Gasol. But I don't know that any team, you know, there was no kind of massive move, right? Like there was no, you know, huge name shifting teams that, you know, tilted the balance of power in the conference.
Talking to Chris Mannix. All right, so a lot to unpack there. Let me ask you about the Lakers, though. For instance, you mentioned Marc Gasol. Dwight Howard was a revelation for the Lakers, Chris, in their championship season. And then we had the excitement of him tweeting that he was going to stay with the Lakers, only to find out that there was a miscommunication and that he ended up with the Sixers. I mean, exactly what did happen? How do you explain what happened there?
Well, I mean, first, this could only happen to Dwight.
Right.
Like, there's no other player this could happen to where you'd be less surprised than would happen with Dwight Howard. What my understanding was that, you know, he had been discussing a new deal with the Lakers, which is that the terms were pretty straightforward, right around $3 million, which is, you know, basically one of the minimums that the Lakers can offer. And Dwight thought it was a real offer. The Lakers were not prepared to make a real offer because they had other things to do first, namely, you know, finding a way to get Marc Gasol. And Dwight just went a little bit early, you know, shot a little early and took to Twitter and put it out there. That tweet was up about 5 minutes before he realized that wasn't a actual offer. And fortunately for him, you know, Philadelphia was very interested from the onset of free agency. The Sixers understand that Joel Embiid is not a 75-game per year player. He's probably going to miss between 10 and 15 for various reasons. And, you know, having a backup that, you know, is as big and physical as Joel is a good thing for that team. You know, Doc Rivers got a bird's eye view of Dwight in LA this past year, so he knows what he's getting into. So, you know, Dwight was pretty fortunate to have the Sixers as a backup because, you know, it wasn't that long ago, Jim, that Dwight, you know, was probably thinking about China, you know, and playing over there because the NBA had pretty much been done with him.
That's what I mean, like a complete revelation for the Lakers, and he's still in the game and he's still in that fight. Chris, what about the Lakers then? Where does that leave them in your mind? For instance, are they the favorite in the West, or do you need to see what LeBron looks like before you can make a statement like that?
Well, I think they can win the favorite in the West, and until LeBron fades significantly, we should expect him to be the same LeBron James. I think the moves they made, you know, look, they may require an adjustment period as you get used to new guys, but Dennis Schroeder's coming off his best year of his career. You know, probably should have been the sixth man of the year. I'm not entirely sure how Montrezl Harrell and Anthony Davis play off each other. Davis, as we know, prefers a more sturdy seven-footer to play alongside, but Harrell, you know, is the sixth man of the year and is going to put up some good numbers in LA, and Gasol kind of solves their size problem. I mean, Gasol was a starter, you know, last year for the Raptors, was a starter on, you know, the championship team that they had. I mean, he's still got something left in the tank, and in a role that doesn't require him to do too much, I think he's going to be really effective. So I think you have to look at the Lakers coming off their championship, despite the, you know, some of the around the fringe changes, to be the favorite in the conference and the favorite, frankly, to win the whole thing.
He is Chris Mannix. He's a senior writer for SI, also an NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston. In fact, Chris, speaking of which, what was your reaction when Gordon Hayward opted out of that $34.2 million salary with the Celtics? And then what do you make of that four-year, $120 million deal that he received from the Hornets?
Well, look, no player opts out of a contract like Gordon had without being pretty sure that there's an offer out there that will exceed it, at least in terms of overall value. Now, we've seen players opt out of contracts and take less money in the short term to make more money on a long-term deal. So I expected Gordon to have, I don't know, something in the neighborhood of 3 years, $60 million maybe on the table or something in that neighborhood. Never in a million years did I expect Charlotte to step up with a four-year, $120 million contract. I didn't see that one coming. Now, the Hornets, I was saying to everybody all week, like, they were a player for all this because the Hornets had cap space. And they had signed Gordon Hayward before. I mean, go back to 2014 when they signed Hayward to an offer sheet that Utah eventually matched. You know, Jordan was the owner then. They liked Gordon Hayward. So I knew they'd be in play. But you know, the idea that Gordon is worth to them $30-plus million per year is truly flabbergasting. It really is. I mean, especially when you consider that it seems like, and we don't have the final word yet because I think Boston would still love to do a sign-and-trade, but it seems like they're going to stretch Nick Batum's contract, which effectively over the first 3 years of Gordon's career makes him a $39 million per year player. And I don't know what you're doing that for if you're Charlotte. I mean, Gordon's a good player still. He's going to put up some numbers with the Hornets, but you're basically talking about going from the 12th seed to the 10th seed with that team. And I don't get that thinking, that rationale at all if I'm the Hornets. So I think it was Zach Lowe who reported that, you know, Michael Jordan called Gordon Hayward and like, you know, convinced him to go. I'm like, convinced him how? Like, he offered him $120 million. Like, what? That's like, you know, me being convinced to date Brooklyn Decker back in the day. Like, it doesn't work. Like, none of this works. It doesn't make any logical sense. Like, you have to, you see that money on the table, you take it if you're Gordon Hayward. And I would imagine, I haven't talked to Gordon about this or anybody in his camp yet, but I would imagine when he saw that number, it was like, okay, goodbye.
Agreed. Like, where's the pen? Just give me the pen. Let's get this before they change their mind. All right, so last week, Klay Thompson suffered the Achilles injury. Chris, what does that mean for Golden State this year and for the next few years?
Hey, look, it probably takes them out of title contention this year. You know, Kelly Oubre is a good player. He'll do some things for him. Kent Bazemore is a good player. He'll do some things for him. But they're not Klay Thompson, and I don't know how they win in the West without Klay in that mix. What it does allow them to do is take some time and develop James Wiseman on a little more patient track. He's a little bit more free from those championship aspirations, at least championship expectations, to do some things. And I think James Wiseman is going to be excellent. I think he fits into exactly what Golden State wants to do. And I think by midseason, he's going to be a real player for them. So I think it allows them to develop some of these younger guys, specifically Wiseman. They'll have another high draft pick in next June's draft because they have a lightly protected Minnesota pick that they'll likely get transferred to them. So they've got some options here. I mean, they can go out and make another trade. They can move Wiseman. They can move some other pieces. It just, the disappointing part of it is it makes the Warriors, you know, probably not a championship-level team. But I don't think the window's closed. I mean, Steph and Draymond still have a few more good years, high-level years left in them. I just think that it's probably not going to happen this year without Klay in the lineup.
We were talking to Chris Mannix. All right, Chris, before I let you go, I want to talk boxing for a minute. I had Dana White on the show last week. We ended up talking about Bob Arum's comments about Terrence Crawford. What did you make of Arum's comments, and what does Bud's future look like to you?
Well, I mean, Bob's blunt at all times, and Bob has been, you know, hemorrhaging might be too strong a word, but he's been losing money on Terrence Crawford because he can't get him the big fights, and the contract he signed with Terrence guarantees him a certain amount of money. And ESPN is not ponying up, you know, enough to cover the $4 million for Terrence Crawford, Kavalauskas. It's not ponying up enough to cover the $4 million for, you know, Crawford versus Kell Brook, plus the $2 million Kell Brook needed to get paid. So that comes out of Top Rank's pocket. And it's doubly problematic when you don't have a gate and you can't rely on, you know, a million, 2 million, whatever it might be, that Crawford's going to bring in. So, look, I mean, it's maybe he's a little bit too strong with his wording, but he's not making any money off Terrence Crawford. In fact, he's losing money. And as he looks forward, he's not sure how that's going to change. So I don't think we can expect Bob, who's going to be 89 years old in just a couple of weeks, to sugarcoat it all of a sudden. He doesn't want his bottom line to be so, you know, deliberately damaged just for to maintain a relationship with Terrence Crawford. So I don't know what happens. I still think Terrence's next fight is probably with Top Rank. But, you know, going into the middle of 2021, unless they can make a co-promotional deal to do Crawford versus Errol Spence, I don't think he's going to be with Top Rank that much longer.
All right, so really quickly, if that fight does go down, how do you see that matchup?
It's a coin flip. You know, Spence is a more accomplished guy at 147 pounds. He's going to be the bigger fighter, and he's shown me against Mikey Garcia that he can box, against Sean Porter that he can bat. He can do a lot. I mean, Crawford's versatile too, but I just haven't seen it against top guys at 147. It's why I love the fight, Jim. I can't pick it either way. I think whoever controls the pace of that fight probably wins. Whoever lands the big shot probably wins. So it's a great fight that, you know, hopefully happens early next year.
It's a great fight. I love that matchup. He's a senior writer for Sports Illustrated, an NBA analyst for NBC Sports Boston. Good friend of the program. He is Chris Mannix. Appreciate that so much, Chris. Thanks a lot. Great job.
Anytime, Jim.
Have a great day, Chris Mannix. Best thing about Mannix, we could talk about any number of things. Free agency, boxing, and even more. All right, so it sets up like this. One last segment. Also, this note in. Adam Schefter tweeted, an MRI revealed more damage than anticipated. Bengals QB Joe Burrow tore his ACL, MCL, and suffered other structural issues in his knee as well. So even worse than predicted. Which is why I'm sure that Joe Burrow knew within 1 hour of that happening yesterday and took to Twitter with, I'll see you next year. So that's more damage than anticipated. A torn ACL, a torn MCL, and then other structural issues with the knee. All right, we'll break right now. You'll probably get that in your sports update. Still ahead, a workplace violence update as it relates to the XR4TI. Or maybe Florida Man. Or both. Here is your box. So I read the tweet from Adam Schefter about Joe Burrow, and the update was even worse than expected, and it continues to get worse. Schefter tweeted this 5 minutes ago, quote, these types of knee injuries, like the one Joe Burrow suffered, usually sideline players anywhere from 9 to 12 months, though each person heals and rehabs differently, but no matter how quickly Burrow does or doesn't recover, next year's status is now in question. So that, according to Adam Schefter, not only is he going to miss the rest of this year, that's a given, but next year's status could also be in question. Again, Cincinnati's absolute worst nightmare. 1-800-636-8686. So a quick ATP brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Jimmo's. Do you ever get to work in the morning? Only to discover that you forgot to wear a belt. Brent in PC. No. Never. Never. And the reason for that is I lay my clothes out the night before. Every single night, no matter what. Shirt, slacks, belt, socks. I don't want to be looking for it in the morning. I lay it out. So no, that is never an issue. My watch on occasion, but never my belt. All right, so everybody knows that there really are two types of people in the world, right? You've got your normal citizens and you have Florida Man. It's that cut and dried. The Florida Man meme has been beaten into the ground and for a very good reason. That's because Florida man never stops finding ways to reinvent insanity, right? The UD, no less an authority on this, well, on any subject, the Urban Dictionary, describes Florida man as, quote, the stupidest thing on earth. You don't want to mess with him, as he might attack you with a fried chicken or a catfish. His fuel is Bud Light and meth. Florida man loves playing sports with alligators and using fish as baseball bats. Nothing can stop a Florida man except another Florida man. Get on his bad side and he will feed you to his cat. His superpowers include smoking bath salts and eating his enemies' faces off. End quote. That's about as good a description of Florida man as I could ever find. The UD had that. Now, they did generalize, right? Not every Florida man is Florida man. Like, when you paint things with one broad brush or one broad stroke, you fail to take into consideration that there are exceptions to the rule, right? Not me. I understand that. I already know this. So right here, right now, Florida man is finally going to get some respect. Florida man's finally going to get his due.
Finally.
Maybe you've seen the video, because right about now it is viral as hell. But in a situation that could only happen in Florida, a man named Richard Wilbanks of Fort Myers was out walking his puppy dog this past weekend. Nothing strange about that, right? But let's crank the Florida meter up to infinity. Because as the pup walked near the edge of the neighborhood pond, a freaking alligator darts out of the water and snatches the dog in its jaws.
Cracking.
Now, most of us in the other states, the other 49, only have to worry about bringing a little plastic green or blue bag on the dog walk. Florida man, though, has to worry about the blood relatives of dinosaurs emerging from a pond and snatching their dog on a one-way ticket to underwater hell. It's a real thing. However, in this case, my man Richard Wilbanks made sure that it was a round-trip ticket for his pooch. Because Wilbanks immediately jumps into the pond, reaches underwater, grabs the gator with his hands, and wrestles its jaws open until the puppy dog could run away free, relatively unharmed. Are you kidding me about that, Florida man?
Richard Wilbanks says his adrenaline and his instincts kicked in, and that's when he immediately jumped into this pond right here behind me to go save his dog's life.
This is the moment Richard Wilbanks wrestles an alligator to save his dog's life.
He just came out like a missile. My hands were just chewed up, and I was able to save Gunner's life.
Gunner, of course, is the name of the dog. Richard Wilbanks is the name of the legend who just said, quote, he just came out like a missile.
He just came out like a missile.
That's right. And you, my man, went in like a nuke. This video is possibly the most incredible piece of video for 2020. And that, of course, is saying something. The fact that man v. gator, that encounter is even on tape, is something else entirely. But that's because a local wildlife foundation had set up cameras around Florida to capture bobcats and deer and gators on film so they can better understand their tendencies. So they had a camera pointed right at that whole thing. And it happened to be perfectly positioned to capture Florida man entering the swamp with a sleeveless shirt, a pair of bare hands, and the will of a freaking legend. Oh, and a freaking stogie. You cannot make this up. Florida man entered the swamp to wrestle his dog from an alligator's jaw while burning a cigar. A cigar that was firmly lodged between the teeth of this icon.
Burning.
A cigar that never moved from the mouth of greatness. A cigar that went into the pond lit and came out still smoking.
It's lit!
Like, y'all want to crack Florida man for his insanity, and I'm not going to act like I haven't done it myself. But how many of you, how many of us, ask yourself, Would you be willing to jump into a swamp to wrestle an alligator that just grabbed your pooch? I mean, damn. We all saw exactly what happened to Chubbs, right?
Damn alligator bit my hand off.
Oh, my God.
Like, I'm doing some serious soul searching. I'm asking myself, if I took Cody the Ragdoll Cat out for a little walk, and Cody the Ragdoll Cat took a misstep and ended up in the jaws of a gator. And man, I love that cat. I'll say it for the record, I love that cat. Would I go into the swamp to try to pry open a gator's mouth to get that cat back? Man, I sure as hell hope I would. Just not before I lit up my cigar.
It's lit!
That little puppy dog had a first-class ticket to doggy heaven. And by the way, none of us have a choice in how we go, but wouldn't most of us agree that we don't want to go by being eaten by a shark or a gator? I mean, that little pup had a first-class ticket to doggy heaven, and it was about to be the most traumatic thing ever. Until Wilbanks went sleeveless with a lit cigar and jumped in there and pulled that dog from that gator's mouth. That might undo every single Florida man meme ever. I would tell this legend to light up a victory stogie, but you know he's already got one burning. It's already hanging from his gap. Florida man won. Alligator, nothing. Stereotypes, -1 million. Scoreboard, everybody, look up at it. This guy's a stud, man.
Like a missile. My hands were just chewed up, and I was able to save Gunner's life.
My man, good on you. And do you know why your hands were chewed up? Because you reached into an alligator's face to get Gunner, and it worked. Man, much respect. Florida man getting some much-deserved shine. Finally, something positive to say about Florida man.
Finally.
All right, so I've been doing this for a long time, right? I thought that I knew the entire comprehensive list of things that you clones love. Cranks, bum crank, fat smack, adult alarm, slump busters, the rat fam, OJ resets, stay-at-home dad jokes, celebrities dying, celebrities getting fat, self-glossing, personal appearances show fodder, all those things. I thought that was it. Well, go ahead and add this one to the list. Workplace violence. Because ever since James Kelly piggybacked off of Joe Judge and Mark Colombo allegedly giving each other the hands, and then spun that into handicapping a hypothetical fight between Ritt and Hawk, you clones have not stopped talking about it. This damn thing carried 2 segments on Friday, the entire weekend, and there's even more reaction throughout the entire program today. A hypothetical fight between Ritt and Hawk has you all more excited than anything I've seen since the smack-off itself. I bet that if we had a hashtag on it, it would have trended. I mean, there's a story out there that Jimmy Butler called up free agent Goran Dragic and threatened to beat his ass if he didn't return to the Heat. So he did what anybody would do when faced with that option. He signed on the line that is dotted, and he's going to run it back with Jimmy Haymakers. Can't blame him. But now workplace violence has become a thing. Colombo v. Judge, Buckets v. Dragic, Hawk v. Ritt. And Wells in the 360 put up a poll over the weekend. A who you got poll? For a clone with 700 followers, it got great reaction. 1,200 votes. Let's just say the jungle is backing old man strength. 96% of the people who voted are taking Ritt. 96%. Way to go, Hawk. You're like 40 years younger. Way to garner 4% of the vote. Way to match Eric Silkinson's efforts at the HB City Council election.
Bruh.
96%, brah, of the people are going with the old guy in the back row. And this is after Ritt tweeted over the weekend that he eats ultra-processed grub, does not exercise, sits on his ass all day long, he's got terrible posture, drinks way too much caffeine, is sun-deprived, does not sleep, and spends literally every waking moment on social media. And despite those admissions, the voting public still went with him to the tune of 96%.
Game on.
Incredible. I don't know if I'm more impressed with the old man or more embarrassed by Hawk. Honestly, who says, who does that say more about? I know this. James Kelly better move that line. Because the sharps, the wise guys, and the public, pretty much everybody is going Ike on this one. And so am I. You got to update that line, big head. Update it and be ready for Wednesday because the clones want your picks going into the Thanksgiving weekend.
Bring it on.
Dear Romy, it's not the Gators you need to worry about. Regards, Steve Irwin.
Cracky.
Denny in the 402. John in New York tweets, there is no doubt that Florida man and Slorom in Houston are at minimum first cousins. Hey, Rome, David Webb changed his name to Jason Bourne because he was afraid of Richard Wilbanks, Francis in Glendale, wore Rich Flores using gummy worms as bait. Huge call brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. You can earn 100,000 bonus miles that you can actually use, redeemable for vacation rentals, car rentals, and more when you spend $20,000 in your first year. What is in your wallet? Limited time offer. Terms do apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. It's a short week. You're running out of time. I better see you up in here tomorrow. My thanks to Mike Silver, Austin Hooper, and Chris Mannix. Aaron Rodgers will be on tomorrow. So we're looking forward to that. It is a short week. Thank you for listening. Have a tremendous day. If you're looking for something to do also, spin episode 152 of the Jim Rome Podcast. Justin Thomas is my guest. Look for that. See you tomorrow. We're out.